Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
One of the many elective classes that high school students choose to take is debate, because it's a good place. It's a place where they can speak their mind on topics they believe are important and necessary to discuss. But what happens if those students are no longer allowed to say what they actually want to say? What if the true purpose of high school debate is not what it seems anymore? We need to get into that, because I think having that kind of debate is what makes the country extraordinary. And if we lose that at the high school level in terms of debate, we lose a whole lot for the future. James Fishback is the founder and executive director of Incubate Debate. Had a great piece in the Free Press talking about high school debates and why, in many cases, debate's no longer allowed. James, welcome to the program.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Boyd.
So let's dive into this. You were a debate coach. You've been involved in debate for a long time. Tell us what you have been seeing and what it is that we should be concerned about.
Well, absolutely. I was a debate student for 4 years in high school from 2009 to 2013. I went off to college, and then I came back as a debate coach for 2 years. Debate changed my life. I had a really awful stutter growing up. I had this passion for politics and for economics that I wanted to channel into something, and debate was the perfect place to do it. Imagine getting to read The Economist magazine, The Wall Street Journal, learning about Milton Friedman and F.A. Hayek, and having these awesome debates as a freshman in high school. It really was life-changing, and that's why I came back as a debate coach. And when I came back as a coach, Boyd, something had changed in the world of the National Speech and Debate Association. There are these something called paradigms that your listeners want to know about. A paradigm is where a high school debate judge used to post their preferences for speed. So if they didn't want kids to speak a mile a minute, they would tell them to slow down. Or if they wanted them to focus on their evidence, they would ask them to explain their evidence a little bit more. But something happened in that 2016 to 17 period where paradigms got hijacked and became riddled with political and ideological statements. The best example of this is in my piece in the Free Press, where a judge goes out and before the debate via the paradigm tells the students, and I'm quoting here, "I am a Marxist, Leninist, Maoist before anything, including being a debate judge." And then she goes on to say, "There are certain arguments I will not entertain. I will never vote for arguments that are pro-capitalist, pro-Israel, pro-the police." So before the debate even begins, students who argue for capitalism or that Israel has a right to defend itself, they will lose, no questions asked. And I documented that in my piece. Several influential judges who, before debates even begin, one judge in particular says, if you use the word illegal immigrant in the debate, you won't just automatically lose the debate, no questions asked, but I'm going to stand up, interrupt you, end the debate prematurely, and then I'm going to lecture you on why that's such a hateful term. So that's the world of high school debate. It's been utterly hijacked by left-wing politics.
And when you get to that identity politics, ideological politics, especially in an element of debate, I'm one who passionately believes that America is always at its best when it is a country of big ideas and open and even roiling debates. I think that's the way the founders saw it. I think that's the way we have to preserve it. And as we start to narrow these down, even on this program today, we've had a devout atheist. We've had someone of the Muslim faith, and we've had the people from all different perspectives coming in, and we've had some really fascinating conversations, and I've learned a whole heck of a lot. But if we go down this no debate debate path, what is it that our students are going to learn, and more importantly, what's the impact it's going to have when they are the ones out trying to lead our country and our communities?
It's going to create so much division, and we're already seeing that in some extent. Look at the latest Axios Ipsos poll. It asked young Democrats, would you be friends with a Republican? 70% of young Democrats said no. Young Republicans, it was 30%, said they wouldn't be friends with a young Democrat. Those numbers, Boyd, ought to be zero and used to be zero. Yeah. When you grew up, when I grew up, We didn't care if somebody voted for Walter Mondale. We didn't care if they voted for Reagan or for Bob Dole. We cared about the content of their character. And that's what this is all about. So when debate ceases to be debate because certain largely conservative ideas are excluded, they're deemed hate speech instead of free speech, then you create this echo chamber that just feeds on itself. And these kids never get the ideological diversity that they really need to grow up in the melting pot that is these United States. So it's scary to think what the country could look like 20 and 30 years when these high school debaters are actually in Congress or running state government or, heaven forbid, part of the bureaucracy, that they are actively excluding certain ideas. I started Incubate Debate, a nonprofit in Florida, my home state, because I recognize this is an issue. We're working hard to bring free speech, merit, and diversity of viewpoints back to high school debate. This is such an important activity, and I just can't sit on the sidelines and watch it be taken over by ideologues.
Yeah, I think that's so crucial. We talked earlier in our program today about the fact that we do need to talk to strangers and what happens when we do, and why that's such an important piece of the puzzle. And then our friend Eboo Patel talked about the fact that a melting pot alone isn't enough. He actually says it's got to be a potluck dinner where we look at everyone and say, you are valuable and you have something important to bring to the table for all of us to be able to to enjoy this. And so as you look at your effort, again, starting there in the state of Florida, what else do you hope people will come away with in terms of how do we foster that? How do we create space for really good debate among our young people?
Well, the first thing, Boyd, is we have to ditch this idea of safe spaces. A safe space is just a really good sounding euphemism for we are going to deem certain ideas unacceptable, and therefore they're not going to be welcome into this safe space. What we need is we need sacred spaces, sacred spaces where young people can come together, where they can talk about the difficult ideas that are dividing the country, issues like policing, immigration, abortion, and be able to walk away not with antipathy for the person on the other side, but not necessarily agreement either, simply respect for the other side. A good debate is not agreeing necessarily with the person on the other side. It is simply saying at the end of it, hey, you made me think. You made me think. You know, I'm an unapologetic conservative. I believe in the Second Amendment. I believe in America First policies. But if there's someone out there who's going to advance a certain idea or a certain argument, and I can understand that viewpoint, I'm going to respect it and appreciate it, even if I don't agree with it. So I would say to that question is set the stage for what a debate really is about. It's not about winning. It's not about competition.
Right.
It's about learning. It's about perspective. And it's about walking away, not necessarily having had your mind changed, but simply appreciating and respecting a different perspective. That people who are on the other side of this transgender issue are not evil monsters. People on the other side of the Second Amendment are not evil demons. People on the other side of the pro-life or the pro-choice debate, you know, we're all human at the end of the day. We're all created in the image of God, and we can have differences of opinions and still come together in that potluck dinner and celebrate that.
Yeah, no question. It's that dignity across our differences that is such a crucial part of all of those kind of debates and all of those kinds of conversations. And we have to be able to create, I love the way you frame that, sacred space, because I actually think that's where curiosity comes in. And just being able to say, I wonder why she thinks that's the best approach to solve immigration, or I wonder why he believes so passionately in this principle or this policy, and getting past all of that and staying curious. I keep saying that a lack of curiosity is a great threat to the constitutional republic that we have. James Fishback is the founder and executive director of Incubate Debate. This is important. If we don't get our debates right, where we can really debate in this country, we're in danger of losing a whole lot else. James, thank you so much for joining us today and for getting us to think just a little bit deeper.
Boy, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. We're going to step aside for one last break. When we come back, some final thoughts and a crucial principle, a vital virtue that you may not be thinking about when it comes to presidential politics. We'll talk about that coming up next. Stick around.